Okay. Hello, everyone. Good evening, or good afternoon, or morning, depending on when you're listening to this. My name is Charles, or Chaz, or Yazik, or the DM, or the Bard, and welcome to the 70th of hopefully many episodes of Bard Advice, a D&D slash TTRPG slash nerd podcast where I do my best to answer any questions that you might have in regards to that space or otherwise. Just a reminder, as we like to at the top of the hour, the email for the show is bardadvice@gmail.com. If you have any questions, concerns, complaints, criticisms, critiques, send them all to bardadvice@gmail.com. It also looks like bardadvice, if that helps you remember. If you'd like to get some merch, you can do so over at manshorts.com. Or lately, more notably, you can go over to krakendice.com and get yourself a set of the Man Shorts dice. We've got 3 sets that are still available. We will be releasing another one. Looks like it's going to be later this summer, but for the moment, these 3 are available, so go get you some. And if you want to contribute to anything that I'm doing musically, you can do so directly via PayPal, Cash App, or Venmo, all of which are Yazik, Y-A-H-Z-I-C-K. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I hope that everybody's doing well and having a good evening. Also, at the top of the hour, we like to thank all of our members, our patrons, our super chatters. Remind everybody to please like, comment, subscribe, turn on notifications, and rate the podcast on your respective platform. And you can also join the Discord. If anybody in chat has a link for the Discord, pop that in there, please, if you don't mind. And I think Chris just posted one on the Discord. Thank you, Chris. So if you're interested in hopping in there, come on and hop in. I think that that's all of the general housekeeping stuff. We'll get into a little bit of Art Corner this week. I actually wanted to throw some promotion towards my friend who does streaming on Twitch. He does so under the handle Hydrox22. He's kind of a goofy guy, but he's really cool. And he streams, I know, Sea of Thieves for sure, as well as some other games. Certainly does so more frequently than me. So if you want to check out his stream over at Twitch, it's Hydrox22. From what I can see on his schedule, it looks like he streams on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. So he's streaming a lot. So if you're looking for things to watch, that's a cool one to go check out. I've put a link for it in the description. And again, the Twitch is Hydrox22, H-Y-D-R-O-X-2-2. So that's what we've got for Art Corner. I hadn't really thought of anything else other than maybe to talk a little bit about the Fallout show, because I did finish that and very much enjoyed it. I thought that it was really good writing. And I was, you know, I've spoken before about how I was never much of a Fallout guy. I was more on the Elder Scrolls thing, so I don't fully understand all the lore. But from what I've been told by several of my friends who are super into the Fallout lore, they did a really good job of capturing a lot of the essence of the game and the story. And I think that bodes well for the future as to making more, because I know they've already been renewed for a second season. That didn't take long, so that should tell you, if you're out there and you're resistant to watching it, the fact that they got renewed so quickly should tell you how pleased that the audiences have been with it. So I would recommend checking it out. It's pretty cool. I do actually have Fallout 4 on my Steam, so I might not be opposed to that idea, Chris, because I've also been thinking about doing like a run through the Assassin's Creed games, but we could talk about that at another time. Tonight we've got some questions. Half of them are from Chris, and I think that it's 2 different Chris's, and I was gonna make a note for myself to denote which was which, but let's be honest, at this point I can't keep track of all the Chris's. There's just you know who you are when you hear the question. I do know, I think, that 2 of the questions are from the same one, but that's okay, because they were both questions that I wanted to answer. Let's get into it. We've got some questions, and we're going to answer them. So the first question this evening is actually from Amanda, and Amanda asks, I was watching a video where the DM would use snacks on their tabletop as stand-ins for bad guys they encountered along the campaign, i.e. Skittles, Peeps, gummy bears. The only rule was that if you killed said bad guy, you had to eat the snack representing it. What snacks, spelled it wrong, would you use to represent bad guys in a campaign? Thank you for the question, Amanda. That's cool. I had not thought of that before, but that's a fun little thing. So immediately my mind went to, because I'm a big guy, I'm a gummy guy. You got gummies? I'm on board. Gummy sharks? Swedish fish? Any kind of gummies, really. Rolos are good, I like. The only problem with Rolos or any kind of chocolate is that it's like, how long is it sitting there before you kill it? And then you can eat it. Now, if they were individually wrapped Rolos, I just solved my own problem while I was talking. Look at this. It's out of control. Muncho chips. Hey, Muncho chips, where are you? I haven't seen Muncho chips like in a gas station for years. Is something going on at the Muncho factory? jelly beans are always a winner, or robin eggs, but you can really only get robin eggs at Easter. I guess you can get anything at any time on the internet, but you know what I mean. In terms of just like convenience of finding a bag of them in a store. See what's going on in chat. In Fallout Show, in the commercial from Vault Tech, they showed a phone number that is supposedly real. Whoa, that's cool. Haribo anything is tasty. No doubt. Two Haribos in the chat. Reese's. Yeah, dude. Peanut butter cups or pieces? Forget about it. Oh, and while I'm at it, thinking about robin eggs and like Easter stuff, the peanut butter Reese's. Yo, the little eggs for Easter? It's good stuff. Hershey's Kisses, Smarties. Twinkies. Yeah, I know. I'm really bad about sweets myself. Any of that stuff, dude, like any of those like Little Debbie candies, or like, I guess they're like pastries. It's just like concentrated sugar in different formats. Reese's Pieces and Twix. It's got to be wrapped though. It'll mess up the board or something. Yeah, that's true. That's what I was thinking about, having the Rolos individually wrapped, because if you just got like raw candy on the table, you're gonna have a bad time. In addition to, like, it messing up your character sheet and or your table, it's also kind of gross. But if you have it in, like, a bag or something, or a bowl, for sure. The phone number on the Fallout Show does work. Interesting. I want something wrapped just because I don't know where the battle mat or the DM's hands have been. Yeah, definitely. I think I would go with wrapped Rolos just because Rolos are my favorite candy anyway, and the fact that they're individually wrapped solves any issue that there might be, as we mentioned. Licorice. Depends on the licorice. I like red licorice, not so much black licorice. The black licorice is like so like potent. I feel like people either love or hate black licorice. And then with red licorice, lots of people like that. But the real question is, do you prefer Twizzlers to red vines? I guess I'm more of a Twizzlers guy. My wife really likes the Twizzlers. Also, depending on the ones that you do, like where you where they have like the peel away ones. Halloween pack of the fun size. Yeah, those are really good. Snack size Mars bars. Well, Chris, that's a little understandable, right? Because at least with drinking Jaeger, there's like a means to an end there. With black licorice, it's just like, well, if you don't like it, you're just eating this. The store I work at just got in the Reese's medals in stock. Oh, it's like an Olympic thing? That's interesting. Oh, yeah. Man, the basketball team for this Olympics is going to go crazy. I feel like we got like kind of embarrassed last time, and they've put together a real scary dream team type squad for our USA basketball team this year. So I'm hoping we'll get the gold, because on paper, we're certainly dominant, you know? Let's keep moving. Thank you for the question, Amanda. That was fun. The next question is from Chris. And I don't know if this is the Chris that has another question or just the Chris that has just this question. I think it's the Chris that has another question, but we're going to find out. Chris asks, what did you want to be when you grew up as a kid? Did it change as you grew older? And do you think younger you would be excited to see what he became? Thank you for the question, Chris. I will say, out of the gate, younger me probably wouldn't be too excited to see what I've become, but not because I'm ashamed or not happy with what I've become. More so, younger me had too grandiose of expectations to be satisfied with where I currently am. I will say that where I currently am, I am very happy and satisfied and content and fulfilled, just because I do, for the most part, get to do what I really love doing, which is just like entertaining people. So I wanted to be Spider-Man. Yeah, most definitely. And obviously, like, I think everybody when they were kids, it was like superhero. But I made some notes about it. I think the earliest thing I wanted to do was be an architect, probably because I didn't fully understand what it was. I found drawing and sketching to be kind of difficult. I didn't have as much of a natural affinity for the skill like I did when I played music. So that was tough. And I probably could have developed my ability to draw, but it's just something that, like, I don't know, it didn't come very easy. So I just threw it away. Whereas music came really easy. So I just kind of leaned into it. Briefly, I wanted to be a rock star, considered medicine, law, psychology. There was a period where I was really interested in becoming an ichthyologist to study fish, specifically sharks. I think that there was even one point where I considered being a preacher, just because it's in my family lineage. but that was pretty brief. I do play music. I do play the guitar. I'm currently working on an album with a buddy, Song. We're doing a concept album called Math Lord that's almost finished, actually. We've only got a couple of tracks to do, and then that'll be done. And then once that's released, he and I are going to start working on some Bardcore stuff, because I want to put together an album for that, as well as doing like a Christmas parody album for D&D. But ultimately, I've always wanted to help people and inspire other people to look into themselves to find the purpose or bliss or reason for getting up in the morning, whatever. I never wanted to have a boring life, and I haven't. So I guess I got what I wanted. I guess I'm pretty satisfied. You see what people are saying in chat. I wanted to be a race car driver. I wanted to be a shock jock like Howard Stern. With enough money and martial arts training, you could be Batman in real life. That's true. You got to have some trauma in there, though, too. I imagine that's important fuel for the development of a character like Batman. Wanted to be a lawyer for people who need help and the first female prime minister of Canada. Had an obsession with archaeology and paleontology as a kid. Hey, pirate's a paleontologist or an archaeologist. One of those. Pro wrestler. When I'm 25, I'll own my own house and be a dependent. Me at 25, watering down shampoo to stretch it out. Yeah, yeah. Younger me knew I wasn't going to fix shit. There's not much I can't fix. Oh, knew that you were going to fix shit. There's not much you can't fix. Right parts, you can fix anything. Yeah, I've had friends like that. My buddy Cody's like that. I had a buddy of mine, not him, but there's another friend of mine that I'm thinking of that I can't think of who it is. But he did stuff when he was a kid, like take the dishwasher apart and put it back together. And it's like, okay. but those people are like our engineers. Those are really important people. So tough time in high school. He wanted to be a counselor. Yeah, that's good. The world certainly needs more of those. Wanted to be an astronaut. Yo, two astronauts. Younger me wanted to be a Ninja Turtle. Robotics. Yeah, wow. And robotics is, I've been seeing some, I mean, I guess it's like partially related. I've been seeing some AI stuff that's been pretty spooky lately. I just saw some story about some guy that got in trouble for making some AI video, trying to get some other guy in trouble with AI. And they found out, I guess, that it was AI. And that's kind of alarming because, you know, they caught it. But how long are we going to be able to catch it without software? Probably not long. I saw a TikTok of Steph Curry. Maybe I'll post it in the Discord or something if I can find it. I found there's a TikTok of Steph Curry doing like a post-game press conference, the basketball player. And he's clearly, like the stuff that he's saying, it's like clear that it's like, oh, he would never say this. But it's like, you can really only tell that it's fake based on what the content of what he's saying is. And then if you like really pay attention to like his mouth. But if you just were watching that in passing and you weren't a basketball fan, you might think that it was real. And in a year, we won't be able to tell, I think, without software. So that's a thing that's just kind of barreling down through the fast lane. Went from astronaut to aircraft sheet metal and composites fabricator in the Army, then to archaeology. Yo, Drake just ruined his whole career with AI. I've never liked that guy, you know? I thought it was hilarious that Kendrick made that diss track. And then I knew what was going to happen. I knew Drake would respond and all of his people would be like, yo, this is so dope. And it's like, not really. It's really not that strong. Like Quavo's response to Chris Brown's diss track was better than Drake's response to Kendrick's. I'm just happy to see like battle rap active. That's pretty cool. Still fascinated by the guy who was paraplegic and walked again using Bluetooth and a brain chip. Yeah, that's the stuff I think that really fascinates me too. Like how we're going to be able to integrate, you know, not only that stuff, but like the, what's the name of that company? CRISPR, doing the like genetic, like DNA altering stuff. Who knows what's going on with that? I've never done another diss track other than football, maybe. No. And that's, you know, I mean, I don't really have anybody that I want to. You could argue that, like, I've attacked the industry and stuff like Rad Mind of Yazzik, but yeah, that was a cool question. I haven't thought of that in a long time, probably since I was young. So that was a cool question. Like, yeah, I think that ultimately I wanted to help people and entertain people, make people laugh. And so I do get to do that for the most part. So I'm pretty happy, pretty satisfied. So let's keep it moving. We've got more questions. The next question is, and I'm really hoping that I'm pronouncing it correctly. I assume so. Aloysius, that is the name of this person. And man, what a cool name. It's a D&D name. Aloysius asks, Hi, Chaz. My name is Aloysius, and I've been a fan of yours and the Man Shorts. I've been a big fan of yours and the Man Shorts channel for years now. Thank you. My wife and I watch your Sunday videos religiously, and I listen to your podcast while I work. I'm a longtime nerd and originally from Orange Park. Well, that's where I'm from, though now I live in New Orleans. I'm a small batch hot sauce maker that utilizes peppers from my backyard, locally sourced. I also do my best to utilize fruits that are in season and come from the local area. My next batch of hot sauce will be one of the first that deviate from this method, but it was inspired by y'all. It'll be called Florida Edition, and it will be a hot sauce made from datal peppers, native to Florida. I haven't had a chance to taste it yet since it's still fermenting. I plan on cooking it next week. Anywho, I would like to show my appreciation to you and the rest of the Man Shorts crew by sending you a care package. So my question is, can I please have an address so that I can send something to y'all? I hope you have a wonderful day. Good luck on the podcast tonight, and I can't wait to watch Man Shorts on Sunday. Also, Dave Thomas's daughter's place is one of the greatest lines ever written. Well, thank you very much, Aloysius, for all of the info. First of all, I think that's really cool that you do that. Super bizarre that you're from Orange Park and that you now live in New Orleans. More so that you're from Orange Park, just because it's like, who's from here? But I think that's really cool. I can definitely figure out a way to get you an address where you can send some stuff. And if you want, we could even do like, once I get it, I'll do like a segment about it here on the pod and then send people that direction to get their own. But that's a really cool thing. The Dave Thomas's daughter thing, it's funny that you find that to be the greatest line ever written, because it's actually the greatest line that wasn't written, because that's not what was written. I'm pretty sure that the original line was just Wendy's, and in the process of filming, it was either Jay's idea or it was Justin's. It was probably Jay's idea, because Jay is like an old school, like, you know, Melissa and Rigsby, the ones, the people who play Sarah and Waylon, respectively, don't have too much of a background in acting, really any at all. Whereas, like, Jay and I kind of grew up acting, so we're both kind of more like hams. We're both more likely to take license with the lines and do it different ways. And so I'm like 90% sure that Jay came up with that line on the spot on the day of filming. And either that or Justin suggested it to him and was like, hey, try doing it this way. But it was probably Jay. So he has to get all of that credit in terms of it being a great line. The hot sauce stuff is, I'm intrigued. I'm not much of a spicy kind of person when it comes to that. I'm not big on spice, but I think that I'm sure that Rigsby would be super interested. You know, he's a chef. I don't know if many people know that, by the way, about Rigsby. He's Kyle Rigsby, who plays Waylon on the show. He's a really, really good cook / chef. And I've been pressuring him and his brother to put something together and do like a food truck or something, but maybe we'll figure that out. Melissa is fine, and there will be updates on that on this week's episode. So keep your eyes peeled on Sunday. We'll have a new episode on Sunday, and all of that stuff will be addressed. But as for the hot sauce stuff and for the question, yes, I will figure out a way to get an address to you so that you can send us some stuff. We would be greatly appreciative of it. And like I said, I'll be more than happy to do like a shout out, show people the stuff on the pod, send people towards your website if you want to drum up some business that way. So much appreciated. Didn't make the connection. I thought Dave Thomas's daughter was just like a Florida restaurant. No. Dave Thomas's daughter is Wendy. So it was from like a Florida edition or something. It's probably the one where he like throws the alligator through the drive-through window or something. I was in drama club, almost failed to speak as in presentation, speaking in front of people, but that's about it. You know, they say public speaking is a bigger fear than death, which is kind of bizarre. I count myself lucky to have never really been, and obviously, like, I think everybody still gets nervous. I've talked about that. Like, I still get nervous before doing this show every week, but I think I'm certainly a lot more comfortable with it than a lot of people. And I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. I think that there are good things to that and then bad things to it because, you know, I tend to jabber and yammer on. So, founding charter member of the High School Thespian Society. Nice. Yeah, so, well, thank you, Aloysius. That's cool stuff. I'll be in further contact with you via email. We can figure out how you can get some stuff sent over to us. And like I said, when we get it, we'll show you some love at least on the podcast, if not being able to work it into one of the episodes. So, all right. So, thank you for the question, Aloysius. Moving on to the next question of the evening, which is from Chris. And Chris asks, hey there, Chaz. Another Chris question. On the 420 episode, you spoke about legalization and its spread throughout the country. I wanted to ask your thoughts on Colorado. Whoops, misspelled that guy. Colorado's legalization of certain psychedelics. Do you think this will turn out like marijuana, which with other states following suit, or is this a step too far still for most states? Thank you again for the podcast and the channel. Your BG3 run is hilarious to watch. Well, thank you very much for that, Chris, for the kind words and for the question. We did. You may have noticed, anybody out there that watches those Baldur's Gate 3 videos, that we didn't have one this week. I got a little bit behind with just like stuff going on in general. And also, this particular episode is a little complicated. Not going too much inside baseball, but from an editing standpoint, it's like the half of it is from like the back half of another. I just couldn't get it done this week. So, but I'm going to make up for it because next week's episode, I'm going to extend a little bit. It's going to be a little longer and it's going to include lots of cool stuff, like notably Owlbear stuff. So we're going to figure that out. You like Colorado. Okay, so let's talk about the question. So, yeah, psychedelics. Well, I can't speak with too much authority on what the actual rules are in Colorado, but it's my rudimentary understanding that they've at least decriminalized stuff like psilocybin there. And I've seen studies and data from people that suffer with PTSD or suffer from various, perhaps, mental ailments that are finding a lot of relief in the use of and or microdosing of psilocybin. I think that's a great thing for those people. And I'm big on, you know, I think that there's a lot of things in nature that are probably really helpful for us that, you know, we don't have to like synthetically create everything in labs. We can just like pull stuff out of the ground and it works. So I think that there's a lot of propaganda surrounding that kind of stuff in general. I think it might be too much for people, like with the psilocybin stuff and psychedelics, only because like cannabis is still kind of too much for some people. You know, there's a large subset of people who are really anti any of that stuff. So that's, I think, always going to be a problem. I have heard great things about it offering lots of relief to people, but it's tough. There is a lot of propaganda, I think, to cut through and get past. And also, just like with anything else, I think that, you know, once it either negatively or positively affects someone on their front door, most people don't have much of an opinion about it. Which is to say that, like, if you're somebody that's used psilocybin for, like, PTSD and it's offered you relief, you're obviously going to be pro decriminalization of psilocybin. But if you yourself have not had any experience with or know anybody or care about anybody that's had experience with, then you're going to be less likely to even have an opinion on the issue, let alone like fight for its, you know, legalization. So let me see what people are saying. I think the psychs are a step too far for many for now. Yeah, like I said, I think we're still, a lot of the country is still kind of adjusting with the cannabis. And granted, it's a lot more popularized and accepted than it was 10 years ago. They just gave Reggie Bush his Heisman back, which they Ben should have done. I think it's a little too much for people right now. I think the legalization of marijuana has paved the way for other natural medicines. They have a higher chance now of being recreational. True. That's true. You know, the more success we have with one, the easier it is to open the door for another. Shrooms, DMT, and LSD were awesome. So down for it to be legalized recreationally. LSD should have never been criminalized. The government's going to experiment with LSD on soldiers. Yeah, maybe not just soldiers either. Isn't there like theories that Charles Manson was part of a program that where they fed him LSD? First time I think weed was in Colorado, ended up in the sunken place for a while. And yeah, and everything's better. Like, and obviously, like, I think too that this is also a thing where it's like everybody's case is personal, and it's something that is a conversation that you should have with your doctor as to whether or not these things are actually good or beneficial for you. You know, I've spoken before about how I have my medicinal card here in Florida for generalized anxiety disorder, and it's something that offers me a lot of relief. It allows me to function at some level of normalcy that I probably normally wouldn't be able to have. So I think that it's a good thing. It's just, it's got to be incremental. And, you know, it starts with things like legalizing it medicinally, you know, decriminalizing it, and then maybe go to full legalization after that. But sadly, depend on the tax windfall. Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? Like, after Colorado made so much money, they had to send their citizens checks. Other states were like, oh, wait a minute, maybe we should do this. I still am worried about our state because, you know, we've got to have 60% to pass it here. Something tells me that we're going to get like 58%. And it's going to be like, well, tough cookies. Looks like we'll have to try on the next one. Still holding out on Soma from Brave New World. I have a theory that sooner or later the government will figure out that recreational pharmaceuticals will never go away. And they will legalize all of them. I would hope so. I certainly would hope so. Because again, I think that obviously big pharma and like corporations, like drug companies, are problematic because, you know, they're for-profit companies. They care about profit and they don't really care about anything else. We learned that mistake with Purdue Pharma, right? With the OxyContin, where they just outright lied to people about how addictive they were or how damaging they were for the sake of profit. It's less likely that companies will be able to do that with things like cannabis or psilocybin. I think just from a general standpoint, because it's like, you know, with something like cannabis, it's like you don't need to synthesize it to make it better. Just grow it and get it out of the ground and light it on fire and you're good. So I think that that's a threat, by the way, to a lot of those big pharmaceutical companies. And they're very likely instrumental in keeping any legislation of decriminalization or legalization down. But, you know, that's why you got to vote. That's why you got to vote, people. So if you're in Florida and you're pro cannabis, get out and vote this fall. It's on the ballot. Let's get it done. Or at least get it close. You know, if we can get 58% this year, then maybe we can have enough next time to push it all the way over. In Nevada, you passed it by only 54. Yeah. See, that's the thing. Like 54 isn't going to cut it in Florida. They're just waiting to legalize it until Monsanto can start trademarking strains. Yeah. Figure the whole process is in years. Yeah. It's interesting. We'll see how it goes, you know. Ultimately, obviously, you're going to leave it to the people with their vote. So we'll just have to see what the people of Florida say. But, you know, most Florida voters are, you know, like our governor, and our governor really doesn't like the talks about legalizing recreationally. So I don't know. We can hope. All right. Thank you for the question, Chris. The next question, according to the list of names, is from Justin. And Justin asks, hello, Charles. Not sure if you saw, but it looks like Discord and Roll20 are partnering to combine their softwares. The beta will be coming April 30th. Do you think this will bring new players to the game? Thank you in advance. Yeah, oh, I didn't know if anybody saw that. I did read an article about that earlier this afternoon, about how Discord and Roll20, I guess, are kind of going to be combining, or at least like have the ability to integrate with one another. Probably because Discord has a much more reliable video call, audio call software than Roll20 was working with. So I don't know if it's going to bring new players in per se. I mean, probably. There'll probably be some people who have never played and just, you know, for the sake of the convenience of it being available now on Discord, will be more likely to do it. rather than just like going to Roll20. What I think will be more so than it bringing in new players is I think it'll bring a lot of old players back because, you know, I don't think that Roll20 is bad. I've never thought that, actually. But it definitely has its problems. It definitely has kinks that you got to work through and workarounds you got to deal with. And so I think it's really smart of them to partner with somebody like Discord who, you know, and like Discord has its problems too. But if Discord can offer more reliable connection with that kind of stuff and you can integrate these Roll20 things into it, I mean, how dope is that? Like, it would make it so much easier to play. And I think that a lot of times people that are my age or older who are used to, like, playing in person at the tabletop have been reluctant over the years to play online because of things like those Roll20 issues. And if Discord is not only going to address those issues, but also just make it easier for people to play online, I think that that's a great thing for the community. I think that's good for everybody. Love to see how they do it. Discord is actually pretty good for D&D online. Roll20 is still garbage. Yeah, and a lot of people feel that way. But, you know, something like Discord is a thing that I've always had kind of a weird relationship with because I guess because I wasn't on it early. But that's the case, I think, with me for everything. I'm always like a couple of years behind on stuff. I didn't get a smartphone until like 2013 or something. And like, I didn't have a Facebook, I think, like an official Facebook until like 2008. So I've always been like a couple of years behind on stuff. So with Discord, I feel like that. And then as a result, it's just like, eh. It is a really great tool for just like easy communication. So I do like Discord for that reason. 2013, you got a Windows phone. Discord and Roll20 game is gaining traction. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what exactly it's going to be, what they're going to be combining. I think merger will make WotC Hasbro take notice. I don't know if WotC Hasbro cares. I think they think they're too big. And consider it, like, if they're still profiting, by the way, here's the thing that's sad about, like, WotC Hasbro. If they're still profiting the same, if not, like, not too much less than they always have, even after all of this stuff with the OGL and the layoffs and stuff, if they're still, like, unless they're bleeding profits, then they're just going to continue on business as usual, I think. You know, if anything, the CEO going out, they can kind of throw everything on her if they want to and be like, well, you know, bad, poor management. We got a new CEO. By the way, have they announced a new CEO? Like, we got a new CEO and it's going to be totally different now. But it's like, I don't know. I don't see it. I don't think that they suffered enough for it to make much of a difference in how they move forward. You have often played online D&D using those two, so try and report back. Yeah, and I would encourage people, by the way, to go check out the beta for that stuff, for the Discord Roll20 thing. If for nothing else, just to like try it out and see what the deal is. They have to be, or they wouldn't have laid off over half their teams. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're hurting for profits. They've already started looking for a new developer for BG4. I don't think they understand Larian was the golden goose. Wow, that's really foolish of them, then. Where's the WotC online tabletop? Well, people would argue that's what they're developing, right? Hasn't that always been the case with, like, D&D 1 or whatever? Is that it's going to be... I think that's what it's going to be. I think they're just going to drop it and be like, yo, look, you can buy the books or you can play it all online in this virtual official Wizards of the Coast, official Dungeons and Dragons virtual tabletop. And it can be, you know, $15 a month for access to it. But yeah, Roll20 and Discord merging is may be bad news for them. Because, you know, if people start jumping on that, it's going to be hard to get people to change. Because, especially any gamers that are my age or older, if they play and enjoy Discord and Roll20, it's like, what, you're really going to have to make whatever the software or experience is with the official D&D properties, epic if you want to keep people over there instead of just going to do it with Roll20 and Discord. You'd play a Larian VTT? Heck yeah, I would too. I would, listen, Larian, that company knows how to do it. And I'm excited for whatever stuff they've got coming in the future. Big wigs can't take hits, so they trickle down. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, they don't have to fire the people. They could just take $1 million less salary, but we know they're not going to do that, so they fire the people. Probably going to try to move gaming as a service. You don't own the books. You pay subscription to access everything. Yeah, it seems to be that's the path that a lot of these production places are taking. Where, didn't I see something about that? About how, like, is it Sony or somebody who has gotten, like, real uppity about how, like, you don't technically own the games, you lease them or something? I guess that it's, like, a copyright thing in the strictest sense. Like, you know, you're not supposed to technically resell the stuff, but it's, like, then they have the whole, like, GameStop market where it's, like, they give you 7 cents for an $80 game. I don't really understand. Still have Mac Jones. No, pirate. Incorrect. No way. I won't believe it. Hope it doesn't hurt Fantasy Grounds. Probably not. And I think a lot of these, like, more independent companies... Was it Ubisoft? Might have been. But I think a lot of these independent companies are going to be able to just exist and survive in their own lanes. And if anything, you know, the more cold-hearted behavior that WotC and Hasbro exhibits, the more people that they're going to push away. Because I think that WotC and Hasbro haven't seen the hit yet. I think it's going to be in the next couple of years they're going to notice the hit, because the thing is like, I've talked about before about how, like, I feel like my generation was the last one to buy the bill of goods of this whole, like, American dream thing where it's like, work really hard and be nice to people and you could be a millionaire. And we were the last generation to kind of buy into that, so we still kind of buy into the whole, like, oh, yeah, wow, Wizards of the Coast, oh, yeah, cool, they're owned by Hasbro, that's neat, that'll be more distribution, that'll be bigger, better games. And then this kind of stuff happens with the OGL. Not only does that alienate all of us, but the younger generation who never bought said bill of goods, they don't like that stuff. They really don't like the whole, like, greedy profiteering stuff, and so they just won't play your game. So, you know, maybe that's not something that that Wizards or Hasbro is really going to feel for a few years, but especially with the further development of AI tools and software and stuff. Like, once you're able to use AI seamlessly with your D&D game to just, like, generate images and stuff and stat blocks and stuff, you're just not going to need a distribution company like Wizards or Hasbro. And you could make the argument that we don't already need them. We never really did, right? I mean, most of this stuff is just kind of like you make it up as you go. More so now, I think, than ever in the next decade or so. These kind of big publishing houses like this, they're just not going to be able to do stuff like this and then just be okay. You know, like in 1997 or whatever, they could have laid off half their staff and they would have just been fine. But I don't think that they can do that as much anymore. I don't think companies in general can do it as much anymore. So, and yes, remember to like. Please hit the like button on here. Okay, so thank you for the question, Justin. The next question is from Chris. And Chris asks, my girlfriend and I are in the process of watching older 1970s to 2000s and more iconic shows. What, if any, would you recommend we add to the list? Now, this was a fun exercise. Everybody in chat, please feel free to send your recommendations for shows for Chris and his girlfriend to watch. I made a little list of just the ones that came to mind, and I guess a lot of them are comedies, but, you know, I like comedies, I guess. So here we go. Here's the list. This is my list. Cheers, Frasier, Wings, Married with Children, Coach, Boston Legal, Martin, The X-Files, Friends, Seinfeld, The Wire, The Sopranos, Battlestar Galactica, Freaks and Geeks, Law and Order, The Original, and Criminal Intent, Will and Grace, Buffy, Roseanne, Oh, seeing more another X-Files, The Wire, Sopranos. Dude, The Sopranos is so good. And we didn't watch it for, I don't think my wife and I watched The Sopranos until like 2017 or something. And man, it is really good. Golden Girls is always fun. Battlestar Galactica, yeah. Battlestar Galactica, specifically the one that came out in like 04, I think. There's only 4 seasons. It's so good. Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee boy, howdy. Alf. Yeah, I was a big Alf fan as a kid. I was Alf for Halloween one time. I've been Alf on the show. Battlestar Galactica, the A-Team, Stargate, Knight Rider, Weeds, Square Peg, 2 Square Pegs. MASH is a good older show. Yeah, MASH is always good. Cheers is so good. Oh, and Star Trek. How did I forget Star Trek? And The Twilight Zone. And what's the other one? Night Gallery. Yeah, if you want some spooky stuff. Some of the Twilight Zone stuff and Night Gallery stuff, like, holds up. Scary. Scary business. No, the old school BSG. I don't know about all that. Northern Exposure. All in the Family and Living Color. Oh, and Living Color was so funny. Fawlty Towers. Oh, Soap. Soap is really funny. That's one from like late 70s, 80s maybe. And it's like it's kind of like a parody on like soap operas. Oh boy, really funny stuff. Fawlty Towers for sure. That's John Cleese, yeah? Fresh Prince, The Nanny, The IT Crowd. Yeah, The IT Crowd, that gets lots of praise. I actually haven't seen that. Matlock, Murder, She Wrote, Family Matters, The Jeffersons, Fresh Prince, Happy Days, Sanford and Son, Mork and Mindy, Police Squad, Night Court, Cheers, lots of Cheers. Cheers, you can't go wrong with Cheers. Because here's the thing about Cheers. It ran for 11 seasons. Okay? Like, that's really difficult. For you to get 11 seasons on television, there's only been a few shows that have done it. Married with Children ran for 11 years. Modern Family ran for 11 years. Frasier ran for, did he do 11 or 10? But Cheers ran for 11 years. That's a huge deal. To be able to keep people coming back. And I don't know. I think it's just the simplicity of the characters. And like, you probably like 85% of the show happens at the bar on that one set. Simpsons. If we're ignoring decades, throw in Hill Street Blues. Benson. That's a good point. Yeah, if we're saying soap, you got to add Benson. Cheers is arguably 2 shows in one. It can help you follow Frasier. That's true. Yeah. So I think Frasier comes into Cheers. Did I say Wings? I think I threw that in there. Wings is really good, too. That's a sleeper, because that was like 6 seasons. But it was, I think, very similar to Cheers, where it's like, you know, what you loved was the characters. And, you know, a lot of the stuff happened just on this, like, one little set. Criminal Minds. Hey, dang, it was 11 years of Frasier. That's insane. So Frasier came into Cheers, I think, season 3. Which means that he's been, and then he's on the new Frasier now. So he's been Frasier for, like, 20 some odd years. That's pretty crazy. Night Court, the original. Grew up watching Wings with your mom. Yeah, Wings is cool. Bob Newhart. Or like Mary Tyler Moore. Red Green, SCTV, Wings, Twilight Zone. Oh, you know what's real good too, by the way? I don't know if you've seen is Trailer Park Boys. That's one that's like, I was slipping through TikTok the other day. And I saw, like, the opening of the first episode of that show where they're, like, getting out of jail and Ricky's talking about how they're going to go get drunk and stuff. And I was just like, man, that show, really, really good. And one of those series, I think, in my opinion, that just, like, got better with time. But it's good characters. Oh, Curb is really great, too. They just finished Curb. He just did his finale on Curb. It was 12 years of that, yeah. Again, when you get that kind of longevity, you just can't beat it. And Seinfeld. Seinfeld's really great. America's Funniest Home Videos. Oh, man. Yeah, those are always funny. Reno 911, Sliders, Arrested Development. That's a really good one. New Girl, yeah, it was all right. Firefly. Now, here's the thing about Firefly. If you haven't done Firefly, if you do Firefly, you got to watch Serenity because that ends the story. And also, you need to emotionally and mentally prepare yourself for it if you're going to do Firefly, because you're going to immediately be upset that they didn't make 10 seasons of that show. Because, like Star Trek, I think that it had the legs to... You could do that show easy for 10 years. Boston Legal 2, yeah, I mentioned that on my list. That's one of my favorites. James Spader at his finest. William Shatner doing some good stuff. WKRP in Cincinnati. Golden Girls and Taxi. My dad loved Taxi. And Taxi's good. Taxi's funny. Danny DeVito. And Andy Kaufman, which was just like, that guy was like a real tour de force. Any of the game shows? Yeah, like Jeopardy's fun. Don't say it, Chris. I already see it. Please don't do it. Besides, everybody, I think, knows the answer. So, thought they were talking about a Firefly reboot. I thought I heard something about that too, but I don't know. I feel like you missed the bus. You missed the off-ramp for that years ago. But I don't know if Wheaton did it. Could be good. And Christopher Lloyd on Taxi, yeah. Tony Danza. There's a lot of talent on that show. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for the question, Chris. Hope you got some answers in there for some stuff to watch. We sure listed probably 100 shows, so find something in there. Did I say Will and Grace? I think I did. Will and Grace is like a sleeper. That's a really good one, too. That only ran like 4 years, though. All right. So... we're going to the last question of the evening, and then what we'll hopefully do is just kind of guide that right into chat. So let's see. The last question of the evening is from Dan. And Dan asks, "Hey Bard, I hope you're doing okay. By the time this week's episode airs, we'll already be done with the first round and maybe the second of the NFL draft. The Jaguars picked LSU wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr. What are your thoughts on this pick? How do you feel about trading down? Thanks." Yes, thank you for the question, Dan. I was talking about this a little bit in the Discord. So I'm not a huge fan of the fact that we picked a receiver, only because it's like, what are we doing with the receivers? I don't have anything negative to say about this kid, Brian Thomas Jr. I think he's fine. I'm happy with it. I'm more happy after seeing what we got for the trade down, because when it first happened, I was upset. I was real mad. I was like, what are we doing? We did get two more picks this year, and I think two picks next year for that trade. And if we were planning on drafting Brian Thomas Jr. anyway, and even after the trade, we still got him, then that's okay. I don't hate it. I would have preferred Graham Barton, who the Bucks got, the center at Duke, because I'm a believer that it doesn't matter how many receivers you have. If Trevor doesn't have time to throw, it's not going to matter. I know that we just got that vet center in the offseason via trade or something, or maybe we just picked him up as a free agent. Either way, but you know, you can move this guy to guard. Figure it out. Give Trevor some more protection. I know that he had some of the lowest, if not the lowest, times to throw in the league last year at like 2 seconds. So, you know, this needs some protection. But, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. is nothing to sneer at. He seems really solid. He's 6'3", 209, so he's pretty sturdy receiver. He runs a 4.3 40. He's got wheels. So I don't hate it. And we picked up, what's the name of that guy that we picked up? Is it Mason Smith? NFL draft. Let's look up. Let's see what's going on here, because we might have already picked our third round guy while we're talking about it. But any football fans in chat want to sound off about what they got in the draft? Brian won't get any catches if they still have Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence. Wasn't a lot of D&D questions tonight. That's true. 6'9", 319, Graham Barton, put him on the O-line and move. Yeah, I know. Trevor needs more time, and that's the thing that's kind of frustrating about it. Family Feud is about guessing what polled people thought a good answer was to common questions intended to allude to adult references while still being technically family friendly. Well, Family Feud is just like, if anything, it's a representation of the general American public. I would have preferred a trench guy, but we got a trench guy, I guess, on the second pick, so I can't be too upset. Where's the draft tracker? We're into round three. And we probably did pick. Well, oh, no, we haven't yet. We're still a couple away. We've got the 33rd pick in this third round. But in the second round, we got Mason Smith is his name. He's the D-tackle from LSU. And I don't know what that's about, getting guys from LSU, but that's fine. I just hope that with our extra picks, we pad the offensive line and also a little bit in the secondary. We could use a cornerback. I think that the draft is cornerback deep enough this year for us to get a good one. So, and also just a quick note on what's going on in the NBA, if anybody is interested. I think the Lakers are done. Obviously, they're down 3-0, and I just don't think that they are going to be able to come all the way back. But although I've seen LeBron do crazy stuff, so who knows. I think that OKC is my favorite to win. I think that team is as good this year as Denver was last year. And I don't think Denver's as good this year as they were last year. And the Celtics aren't reliable, you know? Gee whiz, they're just not clutch. That, you know, they lost one to Miami. They might have lost. Are they losing to Miami tonight? What's happening? Are they playing? Do they already play? Or they even play tonight? No, I guess they don't play until tomorrow. But the Mavs beat the Clippers today, so Dallas is ahead in that series. And the Pacers beat the Bucks, so they're up 2-1. That's pretty crazy. All right, so we are officially in chat, if anybody hadn't picked up on that. So what do you want to talk about? We want to talk about good things of the week. How's everybody doing? How's everybody out there feeling? Got a Bama guy on your second pick. Everybody boos that one guy all the time during the draft. Oh, Roger Goodell. Yeah, Roger Goodell. And I will say, like, about the draft in general, I thought it was funny that, like, they opened and he walked out with Eminem. And Eminem was like, you know they're still going to boo you, right? And then they did. They still booed him. And obviously, like, when M came out, people cheered. But, like, nobody likes that guy, Roger Goodell. Although, to his credit, I will say, like, he does, as, like, quote-unquote, the face of the NFL, like, take a lot of heat that isn't necessarily warranted. Like, he is just one guy. They have, like, the NFL Players Association and stuff. There are, like, lots of moving pieces going on in that organization, so it's not like it all just falls to him, but that is just funny. That is just like, yeah, he's the guy in charge of this game that we all like to watch, and everybody doesn't like him, so they just boo him. How's the Thunder? Thunder's good. Thunder's good. I think they might win. For real. Shai Gilgeous Alexander, in my opinion, is the NBA MVP, and it's not close. And that team, some dogs, dude. And they're young. So, like, maybe even if they don't make it this year, they're getting a chip in the next couple years. And it wouldn't surprise me if it was this year. Because, like I said, I don't think Denver's as good this year as they were last year. And if they play them in the Western Conference Finals, my money's on OKC. And they can definitely be whoever's coming out of the East. So, still working honor mode in BG3. Oh, man. Good thing of the week, you're still alive. Yeah, well, hey, that's a good thing of the day for everybody. That's a thing we should all be thankful for. We're still here. Good thing of the week is watching this. Well, that's very kind of you. Well, I'm glad that we were able to bring a new episode. And I use the term we because we're all required for this, you know? We've talked about it before. The new undisputed WWE heavyweight champion. What's going on there, by the way? I know that there's been like, oh, that was a funny thing too that happened this weekend. So I guess at AEW, Tony Khan, for anybody who doesn't know, Shad Khan is the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and his son Tony Khan is, like, I think the owner of AEW. And I guess this weekend, Tony Khan got, like, whatever the move was. He got, like, tombstone piledrivered into the mat, and so at the draft he had a neck brace on. It was pretty great. I don't know anything about that, though, as to, like, what storyline's going on. Good thing for the week is this pirate met Averman Puffy Cheeto. Had a great time meeting. Oh, that's really cool. Awesome. You see, this Bart of Ice, bringing people together. Spring break's coming up for public schools. It's good news for students, maybe not adults. Yeah, that's true. It's been chilly and raining off and on, so when we hit the low 60s today, fired up the grill tonight. Oh. Well, that's nice. It's getting to be real hot around these parts here in Florida. Yikes. I mowed today, and it was like, actually like kind of nice at like 80 degrees, but that isn't going to last. These next 3 months is just going to be triple digits all the time. If not on the actual temperature, certainly on the feel, what with the humidity and all. Oh, my wife and I have been watching The Jinx. Well, we rewatched the original one, which was like back in 2015. And then there's like a new, it's coming back, I guess. There's more to the story. That's a fascinating tale, by the way, if anybody doesn't know about that. Good thing for the week is finishing off developing a bunch of tabletops for clients, being closer to caught up on work. Nice. Connecticut weather is bipolar again. We've had freeze warnings at night, and it's 60 to 80 during the day. And Florida can be that way too, like for real. Like it'll be like 100 degrees during the day, and then overnight it'd be like 50. And it's like, what is going on? Good thing this week in a month you completed 400 hours of coursework. Wow. Has anybody watched The Circle? Yeah, I tried to get back into it. I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of the people. I don't know. Maybe I just have too much Circle, you know? 5 seasons seems like a lot. I thought about, for a period, about applying to be on there. Hot, muggy tornado and flood watch. Dallas-Fort Worth Metro. Good thing finally got your car and work going again. Nice. Sprained your elbow at work. Whoa. Sorry to hear that. Hope that it's not too painful. Found out that the people from Connecticut are called nutmeggers. What's that about? What's going on there, River? Can you speak to this? Is that true? I've never heard that. Oh, Bewitched and I Dream a Genie. That's true. Those are good ones. Oh my God, did I say The Office? Watch The Office. Both versions. Might want to start with the British version, but the American one's really good too. I must have watched the American one 3 times through. Good thing for the week is tomorrow. It's Independent Bookstore Day. Go support your local indie bookstore if you can. Oh, you hear that, everybody? Go to your local bookstore. I'm going to be working tomorrow. And then playing Baldur's Gate 3. Charmed. I forgot about Charmed. Whoa. Forgot that was a thing completely. The Nutmeg State. Oh. Is it the Nutmeg State? Addams Family, Beverly Hillbillies, The Munsters. Oh, dude, The Munsters? The Munsters is awesome. And even a lot of those like early like cartoons, like the Flintstones or the Jetsons and Grimm. How many seasons of that are there? Can we talk about that for a second? Because I watched Grimm when like the first season aired on television and I really liked it. And then I just kind of fell off and never followed up. And is it good? Is it worth like watching through? How many seasons are there? We're technically the Constitution State, but Nutmeg State works too. We got a lot of nutmeg going on in there. Watch The Monkees TV show. There's a bunch of weird shows too, like H.R. Puffin stuff. And dude, Lidsville. I don't know if you've ever heard of that crazy show. But Lidsville is wild. Okay, folks. Well, here we are towards the end once again. As usual, this thing went by quickly, as it typically does. All right, so before we get out of here, let's do a couple of things. Remind everybody of the stuff that we like to remind everybody of. So the email is bartadvice@gmail.com. If you want to send all of your questions, concerns, complaints, criticism, critiques, all of that stuff there. If you've got stories you want to tell, if you want to follow up on a question you've asked before, if you want to follow up on another question somebody else asked before, send all of that stuff to bartadvice@gmail.com. It also looks like Bar Dad Vice. If you want to get some merch, you can do so over at manshorts.com and more notably over at krakendice.com. Just a quick reminder, too, that we've got these dice sets out, the Man Shorts Part Do dice, the Man Shorts Sarah dice, as well as the Man Shorts Redo or Redux dice. Those are all available currently at krakendice.com. There are limited quantities, so get them while they exist. As for anything that I'm doing musically, if you want to contribute to that, you can do so directly via PayPal, Cash App, or Venmo, all of which are Yazzik, Y-A-H-Z-I-C-K. Thanks again to all of our members, patrons, super chatters. Remind everybody to please like, comment, subscribe, turn on notifications, rate the podcast on your respective platforms, and join the Discord if you want to. River put a link for it in the chat, so if you want to hop onto the Discord, please do. We will be back next week, same Bard time, same Bard channel, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Man Shorts YouTube channel. The audio for this podcast, as always, will be made available tomorrow at 12 p.m. noon Eastern Standard Time. I hope that everybody has a fantastic weekend and an even better week, and we will see you next time.